the first chapter.
We read the first chapter of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be he, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion of every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Well, I don't have to tell you that I wasn't here last week as I was supposed to, because these deaths, they come unexpected. But everything else comes so we know in advance, but deaths come. I had another funeral last Thursday, so I missed it about 2 days again. So. A lady, 93 years old, was buried Thursday. And as I looked at her in the coffin, and I said to some people that the worms won't have anything to do with her. There's nothing but skin and bones left. Well, anyway, greetings from Manaka, few of them, and also Sibika, and a few from Minneapolis. Said to greet all the believers here. And there's one reason the believers send greetings to another. For this reason, that we are united very close together and welded together and live together. And this epistle that we heard now, Brother read, and it's written to those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. And I kind of consider ourselves faithful unto Jesus Christ. And if you're not faithful unto Jesus Christ, this pilgrimage of ours is all in vain. But the Bible maintains to us and tells us very clearly and plainly how we are, and also tells what we should know. That's written in the Bible, what we should know. Like even Apostle Peter mentions this, that knowing this verse, that the prophets have written to you concerning our Savior Jesus Christ. He said, this we should know first. Although the Bible mentions about some people or some certain thoughts, but don't specify names, there are two kinds of knowledge, the spiritual knowledge and natural knowledge. And spiritual knowledge is for our benefit and for our good. But natural knowledge is such that it puffs us up, it expands us in this way that we know. And we know, I know a little bit more than the rest of them. But when we look at Apostle Paul's writings, Apostle Paul mentions him, this, when he looks at himself. When the verdict was given unto him that he should lay down his life for the confession of Jesus Christ, an apostle comes to this conclusion that I have run a good course and also have kept my faith. He's run a good course. And this good course is with every one of those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. First of all, it is the habit of Apostle Paul. He makes it known who he is and what he is. He makes it known who he is and what he is. And as we heard in this chapter, the first verse, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he said, by whom? By the will of God. He said, by the will of God. And to the saints, so this is written to the saints, which are at Ephesus, but we can say which are at this church tonight, how about it? That comes in closer. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, as I mentioned here, that we are faithful in Christ Jesus. In this way that we confess his name, for our own justification and for our own wisdom and sanctification, that we have everything in this. So I'm going to greet you believers tonight according to the word of God. Grace be unto you. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I think these greetings are kind of nice to receive, isn't it? For this simple reason, that Apostle greets us in this way, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that grace be unto you. And peace. We have a lot of times in this life that we live. It don't seem so peaceful. And also the Bible, and we find this also written in the Bible, that we have to fight for our life. But we don't have to use our own instruments or our own weapons. But we must take all the weapons of God. All of it, not only part of it, but all of it. And it don't make any difference in what kind of condition we go or run into. And into what kind of spiritual things we run into. On account of our own natural mind. My natural mind works pretty viciously sometimes. And naturally it works against the will of God. And that's why Martin Luther mentioned in one of the books that he wrote And he mentions that a man's brain is the greatest enemy of God. Man's brain is the greatest enemy of God. And we can find some instances. And we have experienced with some certain people. As this lady that was buried last Thursday. She didn't know right or left for the last 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years or 7 years. Did she know anything? And the last time I talked to her, she was very hard of hearing. And I mentioned to her from right into her ear, just in a few words, what God had provided unto us. That God gave his son for us to be redeemed. And she started to clap her hands just like this. So that proves one thing, that our faith is not up here. And I tell you, if our faith was up here, what kind of a mess would it be, hey? But our faith is in the heart. And many other people also, like Margaret, father, we saw him Thursday evening. And he's in such a shape, he don't know anything. But yet he lives 25, 30 years, 40 years behind. He's living that life. And one thing is positive. People, when they get into that condition, they haven't got any temptations, any trials or tribulation, not one. They live the life of their own. But just as soon as you start to sing, like at Psalmist, when you start to sing a song, the old man takes part in it. Otherwise, when you speak to him about material things, he don't know anything. But you start to sing spiritual songs, he's right in it. So that proves again that our faith is in the heart and not in our brain. And now here Apostle Paul mentioned that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, that we have been blessed. And this is also written in the Old Testament, in one of the books of Moses, where the Lord told through Moses that you are blessed when you get up in the morning. And he said, you are blessed during the day, and you are blessed when you are traveling, and you are blessed when you go to bed in the evening. So therefore, we are blessed continually and totally through this life. As it mentions here, who hath blessed, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then he mentions, according as he has chosen. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's how long ago we were chosen. And that is the reason God told Moses, or not Moses, but Job. Job got into a lot of trouble. And evidently some of us have read the book of Job. That's it pays to read that book. And we can find this book of Job that God, the devil cannot bother a believer unless he gets permission from God himself. So it mentions in the beginning of the book that the children of God assembled. And the devil came there also. He says the devil came there also. And I'm pretty sure that the devil is here tonight. And I can even say he's right behind the pulpit too, believe it or not, including himself and myself, because he abides in this old flesh. So God contacted the devil. He said, have you taken notice of my servant Job? Have you noticed him? The devil admitted that he has. But the devil said, what can I do to him? That is to Job. For thou hast surrounded him with material and spiritual things, that I can't do anything to him. So that proves, that's a good thing for us to know this, that God has provided us with all spiritual things, as we heard here, spiritual blessings. And so therefore, the devil begged if he could attack Job. And the Lord said, you may, but you must bear his life. You dare not touch his life. But you can go into his skin and under his skin. That's the permission God gave to the devil. So it went on, and Job was taken over with boils. I guess we call them carbuncles, from head to foot. And it was so severe that he scratched himself with pieces of clay. Out of pottery, you know. And three of his best friends came from the other countries. They had heard the suffering that Job had gone through. First, he lost everything that he had. He lost his children. He lost everything that he had. And yet Job said that the Lord gave it, and the name of the Lord shall be blessed. Lord gave it, and Lord shall take and take it away. And the name of the Lord shall be blessed. And in this agony, as Job was, he was there 7 days. And these three men, three of his best friends, came from the other country to look what is going to happen to Job. And they looked, and they watched over him. They didn't say anything at first. But they had come to this conclusion, that Job had committed some secret sin, and that's the reason God is punishing him. Job had committed a secret sin, and that is the reason the Lord is punishing him. And it went on, and these men were protecting themselves, and they were trying to cast Job down, you know. And it went so far, even Job swore the day that he was born. He swore even the day that he was born. God didn't pay any attention to this. But when Job started to boast what he had been doing, what he was able to do, that he had helped the widows, and also supported the orphans, and many other things that he had been doing, boasted about this. Now that went beyond. So God stopped Moses and told him to quit talking. And Moses put his hands, a hand on his mouth, and he said, Lord, you see. Now, Lord asked Moses this question. He said, where was you when I established the foundation of the earth? Where were you then? And he said, where were you when all the children of God were rejoicing and thanking before me? Where were you then? Lord, Moses said that I have spoken foolishly. I have spoken foolishly. Therefore, Job repented right there that he was a foolish man that he spoke thus. Now, this is very dangerous, to bring false accusations against the believers. False accusations. And most of the false accusations are brought against the believers from the outsiders. And these three friends of Job, they're accusing him of committing a secret sin, and that's the reason the Lord is punishing him. So the Lord gave this order. And he told these three men, and also told this to Job, that these three friends of yours have not spoken correctly about me to you. They have not spoken correctly about me, about the Lord. See? Anybody that has a false accusation against believers, it's against God's will. So these three men, they had to offer a sacrifice for the forgiveness what they had committed, for the sin that they had committed. So therefore that ended that, and Job was blessed with a few more children. I don't remember how many more children he got. And he got twice as much material than he had before. That's how Lord blessed him. These acute accusations that have been brought against the believers. I heard some people say this, and I have heard them mention with my own ears. And they call us foolish. Naturally, we're foolish before the eyes. We better be foolish before the world. Eyes of the world. We have to be foolish before the eyes of the world. And they said that liberals, they call us liberals. And I think we are a little bit liberal, isn't that a fact? Liberal. Let's look at it this way. When it comes to forgiveness of sin, we're not liberal in this respect, not one bit. It don't make any difference who it is and where it is and what the circumstances are. And if someone wants and says that, what must I do to get my sins remitted? How can I get them remitted? And they come and ask you, in this respect, we're not conservative in this, but we're very liberal in pronouncing the forgiveness of sins. And where does this liberalization come from? It comes from the heart of God, isn't that a fact? For we can find this written in the Bible many instances, which Apostle Paul especially mentioned once. Having forgiven us all our trespasses. That God has forgiven us all our trespasses, all of them. And if we don't forgive them, believe them all forgiven, that's our own loss, isn't that fact? Like one songwriter, a Finnish songwriter, mentions that when, as long as God has completely forgotten our sins, isn't it sin for us to remember them anymore? When God has completely forgotten them. So therefore it is sin for us to remember those that have been forgiven us. That he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy, see? That we should be holy. And without blame before him in love. That we should be holy and without blame. Before him in love. For this is also written in the Old Testament. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. This does not mean that we have to start to work or start to do things that we would be holy, you know, work ourselves this. But the words are very clear. It says that, be ye holy, for I am holy, see? Now, concerning who is the one that is holy, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has made us holy. And God's word proves this to us, that he has made us just as holy as he is himself. And that's why Apostle John mentions this, that as he is, so are you in this world. That in this world and in this life, we are sinless, absolutely sinless before God. And yet we are sinful in our own self that we have to continue believing and forgiving every day. And he also has predestinated us unto the adoption of children in Jesus, children by Jesus Christ to himself, see? And that's according to the good pleasure of his will. That was according to God's good pleasure and his good will. To the praise of his glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. There you are. That we are made accepted unto God through Jesus Christ. And we are also made perfect in Christ Jesus. And we have also received the fullness of Christ. The Bible testifies this to us too, that we have received the fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ means this, that there's everything in it in order to be saved. And there's everything in it for our forgiveness of sins. Now he says, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption in him, you know. That is through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There you are. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. God is very rich in his grace. And God is also great in his love. And that's the reason Apostle Paul mentions this when he wrote to the Romans. Concerning, he considered himself a sinless, sinful in himself. And evidently he had the same feelings as we have. We have a lot of trouble with sin. I think every one of us are bothered with sin. And that is the reason Apostle mentions this. Mentioning where sin is felt, you know. There grace much more is felt, much more known. Although this has been mentioned also during our days by certain people that I haven't got any sin. I haven't got any sin. But I can say this, that I'm plumb full of sin. Harvey's plumb full of sin. But yet, I'm sinless before God. That we must believe. Then he said, wherewith he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That he has abounded this to us in all wisdom and prudence. And hath made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, gather them all together in one things in Christ, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There'll be a day of gathering. And I'm going to tell you, the day of gathering, that's going to be a blessed day for the believer. Then he said, we have also obtained an inheritance. Obtain an inheritance. And being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God does not need any counselors. Like our president, he needs counselors, doesn't he? And he has to have some wise men to plan these things. and then he okays it. But God plans all things. He doesn't ask any information from anyone. And he makes all his plans according to his own will, whether the human race likes it or not. Now, this inheritance, we find a little more evidence of it, we find a little more in the what Peter wrote. I'm going to read it. If you have a little bit of time, I guess so. If you not haven't got time, you take time, eh? Yes. Apostle Peter's, what kind of an inheritance? He said, inheritance incorruptible. And also undefiled. That's kind of inheritance we brought on to. And that fadeth not away. A reserve in heaven for you. There you are. It's reserved for us in heaven. Now he says to the believers, in whom ye also trusted. In whom you trusted. After that he heard the voice of truth, see? After he heard the voice of truth. That is the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, see? They heard the gospel and they believed. And when they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There you are. Now, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And until the redemption of the purchased possession. And this purchased possession is going to be redeemed. And unto the praise of his glory. Now he says to the Ephesians, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, there you are, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Those that are faithful in Christ Jesus, we heard here in the beginning of the chapter, they also have love towards all the believers. And that proves, as we also often mention, that there were believers sent greetings to the believers over here. And that is because it is the love to all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for your making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of him. I'm positive of this, and I can tell you this from my own experience, that the believers have this desire to get a little bit more knowledge of him. And get to know him a little bit better. And actually get to feel him a little bit better, see? Although Jesus is not afar off from us, he's not afar away. For he has mentioned himself that in the last words that he spoke, before he ascended up into heaven, and he told the disciples that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's continually with us. And that is, and Jesus mentioned this once, all this to the disciples. He said, now you see me, but after a little while you don't see me. Now you see me, but after a little while you don't see me. And this is a positive fact. When we get these glad tidings and good revelations from heaven, we'd like to manifest it to somebody else, matter of fact. Like to make it known to somebody else. Even in your loneliness or someplace when you're all alone, sometimes this is revealed unto you. And you kind of make your promises that I'm going to tell my sister or brothers how great God is. And how good He actually is. And maybe it's an hour or 2 hours or maybe less than an hour. When you see somebody else all faded away, come up to say. So you can't treasure that. Now, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints, in the saints. Riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, see? Exceeding greatness. Not only greatness, but exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. But how? According to the working of his mighty power. There you are. Believe according to the mighty working of his power, you know. Then he say, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all the church. There you are. There's the head of the church. Head of our church is not in Rome. And head of our church is not in northern Sweden either, in Lapland, like some people say that the head of the church is there. But our head of the church is in heaven, and he sitteth on the right hand of God. Now when the head is, we have a good head in that event. I'm going to give you an example, a human body. A good head, you know. Body gets the goodness out of that good head, isn't that a fact? Without the head, body's no good at all. So we have a good head, which is the head of our church. So this head provides everything that we need in this life. And he mentions, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills all in all. There you are. I don't think we're short of anything in this life. But when the time comes, when this life comes to an end, I could say the Alex Besselman used to say, that someday we're going to get into a looser surroundings. Used to say it in Finnvälienpin olosuhteisiin. These surroundings that we're living now, they're pretty tight once in a while. And in fact, the newborn, the new being, groans under the sufferings of the old man. But this we can be positive of, that there's going to be an end to it, and we don't know how soon. But this is important, that we are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, when we are in Christ Jesus, then therefore we also avoid all condemnation. All condemnation. So let us be in this freedom that Christ has put us into. whereby Apostle Paul also mentions, stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And we can have this freedom by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and leaving our own sins forgiven. In the name of Jesus and his precious blood. Amen.